20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packers fans? Happy Sunday. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL and the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you joining me on this wonderful Super Bowl Sunday. In just a moment, we're going to be finishing up our free agent and trade target series. We've gone over the biggest needs, right? We've gone over defensive tackle. We've gone over corner. We've gone over offensive line. If you haven't checked those out yet, highly recommend doing so. I've gone over who I think should be some of the key targets for Green Bay this offseason as they head into free agency and look around the league and canvas some trades as well. We hit those. Today, we're going to be going over all the other positions that aren't the three ones that they have the biggest needs. Again, offensive line, defensive tackle, and corner. Are there other free agents and or trade targets that they could look at other positions? We'll get there today. Before we do so, just a quick look at the Super Bowl. Nothing too crazy here. I'm not going to spend the entire time, you know, breaking down Patriots, Seahawks. My biggest thing, I have no horse in this race whatsoever. I'm just hoping for a tremendous football game. I think there's the opportunity for Drake May to go out on a big stage and prove himself in year two as a quarterback that he can be, you know, one of the premier players in this league. Of course, second in the MVP voting this year. I'm sure he'd rather be Super Bowl MVP than actual MVP. He's got an opportunity to do that against what I think is probably or at least arguably the best defense in football. Patriots defense has been playing well. Can Sam Darnold get through this final game without having that implosion that's kind of haunted him throughout his career so far? If he does, they're probably Super Bowl champions. And then from a stab you in the heart standpoint, from a Packers point of view, you get the what if bowl. They passed on both Jaxon Smith-Njigba and Christian Gonzalez for Lucas Van Ness. And those two have the opportunity in this game to maybe match up with each other in what should be an unbelievable matchup against, you know, one of the best corners in the game, against one of the best wide receivers in the game, both young in their prime. And I'm looking forward to seeing that matchup. Do you think New England's going to try to take JSN out of it as much as possible? But it's going to be easier said than done. I like Seattle in this one. I like Seattle actually by 10. I'm going to say 27-17 Seahawks over Patriots. Should be a good goal. I'm hoping it's closer. I'm hoping it comes down to the very end. We've been pretty blessed over the last couple decades with some pretty unbelievable football games in the Super Bowl. Hopefully this is another one of them and we can enjoy the heck out of it. And it's crazy to think that our very next episode, we are truly in the offseason. It's done. Football's over. We don't have another, you know, meaningful game until September, which is just crazy to say. We always hit this point every single year, but as always, it'll be here before you know it. And that's why we get ready for free agency already, and we're going to be going over again some interesting targets. I really like this episode today because there's some really fun conversations on some players that I think Green Bay could target to help make this team better, even though, again, it's not at corner, it's not at defensive tackle. You know, it's not an offensive line. I have somebody at every other position except for safety. Safety's pretty clean, right? You've got Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney, Javon Bullard. I think they'll probably bring back Zane Anderson in a backup role. And then you've got Ketan Oladapo still developing as well. Heck, even Jonathan Baldwin in that Vikings game looked like a serviceable safety. They don't really need anything at safety. It's certainly not in free agency. If you happened to pawn one in rounds 5, 6, or 7 because it was BPA, awesome, go for it, do it, but no need to attack safety in any meaningful way at this point in time. So let's go every other position, some free agents that could make sense for Green Bay and a couple trade targets mixed in as well. Let's start at quarterback because Malik Willis is gone. All right, you can all but gift wrap that one to another team. He's not coming back to Green Bay. He's going to have an opportunity to start somewhere. And so that leaves a pretty significant void at quarterback. Yes, they've brought in, you know, a couple players, including Desmond Ridder, Kyle McCord. I'm sure they'll get an opportunity, you know, at some point in time in camp and whatnot, mini camp. But you would ideally like a more experienced backup or just a better backup. Jordan's had injury issues. You know, they don't make the playoffs in 2024 if it weren't for having a really good backup in Malik Willis. If Goody doesn't make that 7th-round pick trade right before the start of the season, I don't think Green Bay makes the playoffs that year. So backup quarterback is a very important position. Listen, you're not looking for somebody here who can get you through a playoff run or anything like that. You're looking for somebody where if Jordan does have one of those 3 or 4 game absences, which he's had a couple of so far, that he can come in and play 2-2, 3-1 football during that point in time. I've got a few names in mind. The first one, which I actually think makes a lot of sense, it might be a little bit out of what Green Bay wants to spend, but Marcus Mariota. makes sense for a variety of reasons. First of all, as a starter, there's no upside for a starting run anymore for Marcus Mariota, right? He's firmly entrenched as a NFL backup quarterback. He's 32 years old, but he did have a 71.4 PFF grade this past year. And the year before that, in minimal snaps, I think he was 90 plus in Washington. He's 6'4", 222. But the big thing here, experience with Matt LaFleur. They worked together in Tennessee, if you remember correctly. So not only do you have a quarterback that has the mobility and can do some of the stuff that they've done with Malik Willis, but has, for a backup, a level of accuracy that would still fit in this Matt LaFleur offense and familiarity with Matt LaFleur, I don't think at this point Mariota's going to break the bank significantly. Again, he's 32. There's no starting upside anymore, but he could still get in the 8 to 10 million range on a one-year deal, if I had to guess. And if he does get that, that's probably more than what Green Bay wants to spend. But how prepared do you want to be for those situations where there is a, you know, chance that Love could miss time? And if so, those games are going to be massively important. And I would feel, just like I felt the last couple of years with, you know, Malik Willis going in, that Mariota could come in and help you win football games in that scenario. I think he'd be an unbelievable choice. Whether or not Green Bay would spend the money, that would remain to be seen. But if that number comes down a little bit, creeps up maybe in like the 1 year, $6 million range, I would be all in anything, you know, for that amount of money for a good backup. Sign me the heck up. I think Mariota would be a great fit. Another, in a similar sort of context, but probably cheaper, is 37, well, he's going to be 37 in August, 37-year-old Tyrod Taylor, who just actually started games for the Jets at the end of the year. Only a 60.2 PFF grade, but that's in New York with the Jets. It was a nightmare scenario. This is another quarterback that has that mobility, experience, again, a level of accuracy. It's not starting level, right? You don't want Tyrod Taylor at this point, or really probably any point in his career, as a starting quarterback, but he has the ability to be a very serviceable backup. And again, I think he can run a lot of the stuff that Malik Willis ran and give you a little bit of that change of pace, easy for me to say. He has great mobility. Again, he has the ability to run an NFL offense, great experience. And just like Malik Willis was not rattled when he came in, Tyrod Taylor certainly would not be either with all the experience he has in the league. So that would be number two. And then the other one is the quarterback that I wouldn't say outdueled Malik Willis in the backup bowl, but did get the win. That was Tyler Huntley for the Ravens. New coaching staff in Baltimore. You know, maybe they still want to keep Huntley. That's within the realm of possibility. Huntley has not been somebody that, when he's had the opportunity to hit the market, that many teams have had much interest in. Yet when he goes in, at least in Baltimore, he's consistently won games or put in pretty strong performances. Heck, he's a former Pro Bowler, for goodness sakes. But he just turned 28. He's 6'1", 204, 79.5 PFF grade, 67.3 the year before. Obviously minimal opportunities, but he's another one that I think could run the offense in a very similar way that Malik Willis did. A little bit, maybe less on the accuracy side than maybe the other two, but not significantly so. And I think a very, very viable backup quarterback option for Green Bay. I could make an argument with those three, Huntley, Taylor, and Mariota. If you didn't want to spend big money, just take the cheapest one of those three. I bet one of them is probably around the 1 year, $5 million range. Just get the cheapest one if you need to. I think all three of those would fit very well with Matt LaFleur. I only have two trade targets in this episode, both of them at the quarterback position. The first is Anthony Richardson, a name that's been talked about quite a bit for Green Bay. Hey, it worked with Malik Willis. Could you do the same thing with Anthony Richardson? I think the issue here is that Richardson probably goes for more than people are expecting. This is a former, very early first-round pick who is obviously not worked out in Indianapolis. He had the situation where he pulled himself out of the game and it just didn't work there, right? But this dude is so freaking talented that I think somebody is willing to give up more than the sixth or seventh round pick, you know, or like you gave the seventh round pick for Malik Willis. I think he goes for probably a lot more than that. Maybe a lot is aggressive, but it wouldn't stun me if somebody gave up a third, fourth round pick. And I'm not sure that Green Bay is going to be in the bidding with the limited draft capital that they have for anything other than a very late round pick. So I think Richardson's going to be off the board. Also, as I've talked about with whether it be Justin Fields, who I did not put on this list for the same reason, despite all the athleticism, you do have to have some level of accuracy within the Matt LaFleur offense. It's just with all the throws that you make down the field, which Richardson's good at, by the way, I think he'd be a good fit, but there does need to become a level of just viable accuracy. And I'm not sure Richardson has shown enough of that at this point in time. So that I don't think it's likely, but he would at least be somebody that I would call about if I were Brian Gutekunst. The other one is I'm sure maybe a name that people aren't going to be super thrilled about. And I'm not super thrilled about it because this guy puts mayonnaise in his coffee. And for anybody that knows me, mayonnaise is on the, you know, the top tier of evil foods for me. There's nothing worse than mayo. Will Levis. Will Levis is a former second round pick who has not worked out in Tennessee. I expect him to get a new home this offseason. I don't think he's going to stay in Tennessee. Don't think it makes sense. I think somebody will take a flyer on him as a backup. I don't think anybody should take a flyer on him as a starter, anything near that. But I do think there's still talent there. And he does feel like the right sort of mold. He's very mobile, you know, and he has a big time arm. I didn't love him coming out, but I liked him as sort of this type of quarterback, as somebody who could have a little bit of upside, some developmental potential. You get him in Green Bay in this system, I think you could see the best version of Will Levis. There's no question he has talent. He has a ton of talent. And it worked with Malik Willis coming from Tennessee after a failed campaign there. Could Green Bay do it again and flip a 6th-round pick for Will Levis and get in a similar situation, up Will Levis's, you know, trade value in a couple of years, and or at least value in a couple of years, and maybe he revitalizes his career in Green Bay? I wouldn't hate that. I think those are five real options for Green Bay as backup quarterbacks: and Mariota, Tyrod Taylor, Tyler Huntley, Anthony Richardson, and Will Levis. I would be totally good with any of those. I would not feel good about where they're at right now. I have no real interest in Desmond Ridder or, you know, anything that is currently on the roster. So I would be searching, I'd be looking, and I do think a backup quarterback like this makes a ton of sense for the Packers. We'll be right back. Well, we made it. The big game is almost here. And there's no better way to cash in during America's biggest sporting event than Prize Picks, where it always feels good to be right. This week, Prize Picks has a special max discount for the big game, live in the app right now. Drake May just needs one passing yard for the max discount to win. Just add another player to your lineup, and if your picks hit, you can cash in. Now, Prize Picks is super simple to play. Just pick more or less on 2-6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in. And with the new social feeds feature, you can share Prize Picks with your friends and copy lineups from winners with a single click. You can copy lineups that you like or use them as inspiration for your own picks. You can even follow Prize Picks partners like us and tail or fade our picks with just one click. One of my favorite aspects about Prize Picks is making multiple sports picks in the same lineup. With football coming to an end, I love combining basketball and hockey in the same lineup. And guess what? Baseball is going to be here before you know it as well. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. Next up, let's talk about running backs. The first one, I think, is extremely unlikely. I wholeheartedly expect that Josh Jacobs is going to be back being the starter on this team next year. And you heard it from Goody, although he again called Aaron Jones the heartbeat of the team and then released him. If you're looking for Aaron Jones, Josh Jacobs 2.0, meaning they cut their heart of the team in Aaron Jones and brought in Josh Jacobs, could they redo that almost exact scenario and go from Josh Jacobs, who's getting a little bit older, was banged up more often than ever last year, or at least in his time in Green Bay, and maybe there was a small sliver of slowing down last year. Could he do the same thing, save the money on the Josh Jacobs contract, and go sign a Breece Hall? It wouldn't be all that different, right? Where you love the guy on your team. He's a great locker room presence. He's a really good running back, but he's starting to wear down a little bit. You release him, and you get younger at the position. You get equally as talented, and you get younger. All right. I don't think so, but what if Breece Hall is, you know, only a few million dollars more that he would cost you than what Josh Jacobs would by letting him go? For a few extra million, you get younger at the position and fresher legs, and he was in a position in the Jets that was not advantageous. Could he be even better in Green Bay with other weapons and a legit quarterback on the roster? I think so. Extremely unlikely. I don't see them doing it, but if we would have had this conversation prior to the Josh Jacobs, Aaron Jones, imagine me telling you, yeah, well, the Packers could release Aaron Jones and they'll go pick up Josh Jacobs in free agency. You'd have been like, that's not going to happen. That sounds absurd. And yet it happened. Green Bay likes getting younger. We know that. They value fresh legs. Sometimes it's worked for them. Sometimes it hasn't. But it would be, if Breece Hall's just market wasn't as robust as maybe Hall expected it to be, and Green Bay looked at it and said, hey, we can kind of get a younger, fresher running back for kind of the same cost, might be something that have to weigh out a little bit. A more likely one, and one that I really like as a complement to Josh Jacobs, is Rico Dowdle from the Carolina Panthers, who was awesome against Green Bay last year, had a bunch of really good games, looked like he was heading for a great season, and then Chuba Hubbard kind of surpassed him, and Dowdle fell out of favor a little bit at the end of the year. Because of that, I do expect him to kind of get a new, you know, home in 2026. I don't think he's going to maybe want to go back because of that. He'll be 28 in June, but he doesn't have a ton of wear and tear because he didn't play much in Dallas early in his career. He's 6 foot, 215, 63.5 PFF grade this past year, but a 73.9 the year before. I just think he'd add a different dimension to the Packers backfield. And I love the way that he runs. The screen game would be really good with him. I think he'd just give a very good compliment. You know, have Josh Jacobs kind of be still your bell cow. Rico Dowdle, the change of pace. If you get something out of Marshawn Lloyd, awesome. And Lloyd would be in that conversation too. I don't think you'd be having the Rico Dowdle conversation or a backup running back conversation if you could trust Marshawn Lloyd going into the year, but you can't. So anything you get from him is a bonus. And then in this case, you probably move on from Emmanuel Wilson, but I still think you probably bring back Chris Brooks if you can get him on a cheaper deal as your kind of third down back and pass protecting back. But in a perfect world, maybe you can go into the season if Lloyd is healthy with just Lloyd, Dowdle, and Jacobs and have all three of those be extremely complimentary running backs that all give you a little bit of a look. Or even if you want Brooks still as that pass protector, he can give you that too. It just rounds out your running back room. It takes a little bit of pressure off of Josh Jacobs. I think he'd be a very good compliment and a running back that Green Bay should at least take a look at, give a phone call to, see if he'd had have any interest. You know, if he didn't want to be the 1-2 with Rico, you know, or with Chuba Hubbard, then maybe he doesn't want to do it with Josh Jacobs, an even better running back. But if he'd be open to it, I'd at least make that phone call if I were Goody. Next one's one of my favorites. All right. I've been clamoring for it. I need it. I want it. Reggie Gilliam. How many of you know who that is? Fullback, Buffalo Bills. He'll turn 29 in August. He is a badass fullback who can pass pro, who can run block. And I think this would give Josh Jacobs a new look. I think this would give him the opportunity to run behind a very good fullback. They've struggled finding that blocking tight end. So maybe give him a blocking fullback instead. Put your offensive line up there. Let Gilliam get him that opening block through the hole. And I think it adds a different level of a running game and like a classic I formation under center. I think you're going to be able to go play action off of that. Imagine you've got Golden and Watson on the outside. Maybe you go six offensive linemen up front with Gilliam as your fullback, Josh Jacobs as your running back. You've got a bruising fullback. How are you going to kind of go against that? Are you going to stack the box? Okay. Then maybe you go to one of those, you know, wide receivers on the outside to let them see if they can win down the field. Maybe you bring Watson in motion, fake an end around, or Golden in motion, fake an end around. And, you know, then you hand it off and you've got an advantageous look if they don't stack the box. Or maybe it's not even a six offensive lineman. Maybe it's Tucker Kraft and you've got Kraft at tight end, Watson and Golden out wide, and then a big time blocking fullback with Jacobs behind him. There's a lot of really fun stuff that you could do with that. So sign me the heck up. I want a fullback. I think it would give Josh Jacobs a little bit of a boost, the run game a little bit of a boost. I'm in. Sign me up. I think he'd be a really good addition for this team and just give Matt's offense a little bit something different for teams to have to plan for. Only one wide receiver on my list, and he's not on here to be a wide receiver, but I do actually think he's kind of the perfect fit for what you could look for to add to this team. And that's Sky Moore, who was originally drafted by KC. Last year he was on San Francisco. He's only going to be 26 in September, so he's still very young. He was highly thought of coming out of the draft. He is just big enough where he's not on, we're not talking like a 5'8", 170-pound, you know, player here. And the reason I want him on the team is for his return ability, just to be crystal clear here. But he's 5'10", 195. that fits within a range of what Green Bay still kind of looks for at wide receiver. It's on the smaller side, but they will take 5'10 guys. And if they are going to be 5'10, they usually want him around 200 pounds. He's maybe just a smidge shy of that, but not by enough to really have it matter. He would fit in perfect as Green Bay's number six wide receiver. If you think about it logically, you're probably going to have Christian Watson, Matthew Golden, Dontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, not in any specific order, of course, and then Savion Williams. You know, Bo Melton's going to be hanging around somewhere as another option, probably, but Sky Moore fits as that perfect number six. He can actually play legitimate wide receiver for you, and he fits well. He was with Kyle Shanahan. He's going to fit very well within this Matt LaFleur offense. But the biggest thing, he had 33 kick returns for 907 yards, a 27.5 yard average, and a long of 98. He actually had the ability to break a big return. Savion Williams was at 25.6 yards per return, so a couple additional yards each time, and the long for Savion was 36. Again, Sky Moore's was 98. And as a punt returner, 25 returns for 291 yards, 11.6 yards per return. Dobbs was at 6.3. The long for Sky Moore, 66 yards. The long for Romeo Dobbs, 16. You get an actual real life legitimate kick returner and punt returner and somebody who can legitimately be a good number six or even number five wide receiver if you wanted to bump him up or if there was an injury. He can come in, he can play. This is the, you know, the sort of Goldilocks of wide receiver additions for Green Bay. You don't need anyone one through four, maybe even one through five right now. You're looking for a depth piece who can be a legitimate kick returner, legitimate punt returner, and fits in Matt LaFleur's offense and is still young and talented, has some upside. Boom, Sky Moore. Works perfect. One of my favorite people on this list. I think he makes so much sense. Another one of my favorites on this list. Baltimore Ravens, we hear all the time about Isaiah Likely at tight end, Mark Andrews at tight end, but Charlie Kohler, I bet he's actually pretty sought after. If you think of Josh Oliver from Minnesota a couple years ago, you may not be super familiar. Really good blocker. I think he got like $8 million a year on the open market. And everyone's like, what just happened? They gave Josh Oliver like $8 million a year. I think Charlie Kohler could be potentially something similar. If he gets to that range, it's probably not worth it. He turns 27 just in a couple days, actually. Had a 77.6 PFF grade. He's 6'6", 257. He's a fantastic run blocker. Would really give Green Bay that run blocking tight end, but he's not just a blocker. This is not a Mercedes Lewis who can block and really do nothing else. He does have chops as a receiver as well. He's not going to be the best receiving tight end in the world, but he would be an unbelievable number two, and he and Musgrave would complement each other fantastic as a backup to Tucker Kraft. So you finally get that blocking tight end, and now you've got legitimate tight ends to go, two tight ends, three tight ends. He would be perfect. Heck, I would be all for finding a way to get Kohler and Gilliam. Now you've got a blocking tight end and a fullback. You could go two tight ends, fullback, Jacobs and Watson, something like that. That would be a ton of fun. He makes all the sense in the world. It you know, with Musgrave and Kraft, you're probably not wanting to go out and spend anything significant at tight end. But if you could get Kohler for a good price as a legitimate blocking tight end, sign me up. He'd be fantastic. Would love that signing for Green Bay. Next up is a couple defensive ends. We've kind of talked about this, how Mike is going to be your one whenever he gets back. LVN's probably going to be your two. You have Baron Sorrell as your four. You've got Colin Oliver as your five. Maybe Aaron Mosby's back as your sixth as a more special teams oriented player. But you kind of need that number three. Rashawn Gary could stay. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't want it to happen, but that's one option. And if so, you know, maybe then Gary's your two slash, I mean, LVN, and by the end of the year, and Enigbari at the end of the year, we're both out snapping Rashawn Gary. So in that situation, LVN, I think, would be your two. Gary would be your three. I don't see that as an option. But if Gary somehow is still on the team, then you don't have that opening for the number three, right? Another option is you could re-sign Kingsley Enigbari, and he could be that number three. That's an option too. But if you don't go in that direction, you're probably looking for one more guy. Two names in mind. Kalavon Chaisson, who is a New England Patriot. He's going to be playing in the Super Bowl. 6'3", 245, only a 60.3 PFF grade, but he's only 27 in July. He had 72 freaking pressures this year for New England. 12 sacks, those were per PFF. Both were unbelievable highs for his career, the best season of his career. He is more of a pass rush specialist only. Don't care, sign me up. Get me another pass rusher. I don't know how much he goes for. a 72 pressure player is probably going to get a significant amount of money on the open market. And if he gets paid that way, probably out of Green Bay's price range. But for some reason, after a year where he got nothing on the open market last year, or at least very minimal, if teams still kind of view him that same way, then heck, I'm going to be the one to sign him. Even if he's kind of a one-trick pony, he makes all the sense as that number three defensive end for Green Bay and would be an unbelievable compliment to Micah Parsons on the other side as a pass rusher on obvious passing downs. And then the other is Malcolm Kuntz, 28 in June, 6'2", 250, only a 58.0 PFF grade this past year, but an 81.3 in 2023, missed all of 2024 with an injury. Last year was his first year back from injury, and you could tell he wasn't quite himself. A lot of times it's that second year where they start looking like themselves again. Had 35 pressures and 5 sacks this past year, but he had 52 pressures and 8 sacks in 2023. And he holds up pretty well in run defense as well. He's a perfect number three defensive end. And I do think there's higher upside than the way he played a year ago. I think bringing him in would be a pretty solid move in that number three defensive end role, kind of your swing defensive end, if you will. He'd be a good pickup. Depends on the contract, but another name to keep an eye on. Next up, we have 4 off-ball linebackers. If Quay is gone, I still think that there is potentially an appetite to get a player there who could come in and potentially start right away. I said it before, I'm not a huge fan of how Tyron Hopper played in that Vikings game. That gave me a little bit of angst and anxiety. I think you want to try to find somebody better than McDuffie. If you have a world where, you know, you've got Edgerrin Cooper as your one, new players your two, and then you've got McDuffie and Hopper fighting for the 3 and 4 spots and maybe Jamin Johnson as your 5, that seems like a very good linebacker room to me. So 4 names to keep an eye on here. Nakobe Dean. They drafted Quay Walker over Nakobe Dean out of Georgia. Same class, right? Dean's been with Philadelphia. He's only 5'11", but he's 231, 62.2 PFF grade this past year. Just turned 25 years old. Really good against the run. Solid tackler. Good enough against the pass. I think he'd be a pretty darn good complement to Edgerrin Cooper. He could be a name that they look at. The one I really like, Leo Chenal out of Wisconsin. He's been with Kansas City in his career so far. Also 25 years old, 6'3", 250, 75.1 PFF grade, 81.5 the year before that, 84.0 the year before that. He's an extremely high-end athlete, good in run defense, good tackler. He'd be a fantastic partner with Edgerrin Cooper. This is one of those where if they decide to keep Quay Walker and Chenal goes for less, I will be pretty upset by that. I think Chanel's going to be the better linebacker. I think he's the better complement to Cooper. I would love to bring him in. He might go for more than what Green Bay wants to spend, but he would be a really nice addition at linebacker. We'll be right back. Another more veteran option is Alex Anzalone from Detroit. He's getting a little bit up there in age, 32 in September, 6'3", 238. 67.5 PFF grade. He's just good at everything. He's a smart, savvy, veteran linebacker, plays with the right attitude, gets from point A to point B, no hesitation. And I think he would bring a little of that Detroit, you know, ankle biting sort of mentality to the Packers defense. And I think he'd be a great fit next to Cooper as well. And then last is a player that I really like from Atlanta, Caden Ellis, 6'3", 238. He'll be 31 in July, so also a little bit older, but a 68.7 PFF grade, 71.1 the year before that. He's not stellar. He's not super. He's just a good, solid linebacker that I think would, again, fit very well next to Cooper. He's good at everything, good speed. To me, is just a really solid pickup. And if he goes under market because there's some of these other linebackers out there and people kind of ignore him, I'd be all over it. I'd be absolutely all over it. And then last but not least, if you want a legitimate kicker competition, Zane Gonzalez to me would be the right kicker to pick up. Had a really nice year a year ago. He's got a big enough leg, and that would actually give you legitimate competition. I don't know how much you'd have to sign him for. You know, maybe you give him a legitimate, you know, I don't know, $4 or $5 million deal, but there's very minimal signing bonus. So if he makes the team, you're paying him well, but if he doesn't, you're off the hook pretty easy. But if you want a real true kicking competition, go get Zane Gonzalez and let McManus and Gonzalez fight it out all throughout the offseason. May the best man win. And hopefully you could solve your kicking woes going into 2026. So those are the names. Free agents, Marcus Mariota, Tyrod Taylor, Tyler Huntley, trade candidates, Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. At running back, Breece Hall and Rico Dowdle. Fullback, Reggie Gilliam. Wide receiver slash returner, really, Sky Moore. tight end Charlie Kohler, defensive ends Kalavon, I always say his name wrong, Kalavon Chaisson, Malcolm Kuntz, linebackers N'Kobe Dean, Leo Chenal, Alex Anzalone, and Caden Ellis, and then kicker Zane Gonzalez. Let me know again in the comments of who you would like the most from that list. You can't have all of them. You got to choose one or two maybe. I'll say it in this one a little bit more than maybe the other ones. These are ones where, especially if you do get a offensive lineman, a corner, one of those, or a defensive tackle in free agency, you are going to have to start figuring out how much the comp picks value to you. Because again, you probably have six guys leave. If you want the four comp picks, you can add two players. Again, maybe you add a center, which I think could happen, or maybe you add a center and a defensive tackle or a center and a corner. If so, and two of those players are now signed and all six actually leave, now any of these players that you would pick up would cancel out a comp pick. It's not a guarantee that they pick up players at those other positions, but you know, you probably do want to at least be cognizant of it. That's one other note here, which is why, again, if you're going to be on like the fringe markets of like, let's say Reggie Gilliam or Charlie Kohler, right? Somebody like that might sound great, but if you've already signed a center and a corner, do you really want to punt on a comp pick to bring in a fullback? The answer is probably no. So that is one other thing that Green Bay would have to be cognizant of as they look at these players. All right. That's all I got. Those are my free agent targets. Again, if you missed the other episodes at defensive tackle, corner, and offensive line, highly recommend checking those out. This is all the other positions. We'll eventually transition into draft targets as well. And we've got a lot of other things to discuss, so don't go anywhere. Justice Mosqueda coming up on Tuesday. I've got a great show for you on Wednesday or on Monday. We'll talk about the Super Bowl winner as well. I will see you guys there. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jason Rimmon, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Willie Winkelstinkle, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, Craig, John D. Metropolis, Hader Radomski, Devin Lane, Alexander Newell, Bill Reinhardt, Richard Morales, Les Nienau, Beast Bumblebee, Benjamin Sargent, Christian Bradley, Steve Bates, John Mark Liddell, Nemo, Donald Decker, Damon Hartley, Zillardson. I will see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.